about the golden calf. So we know that even though God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt, yet even after they crossed the sea, we still have this idol in us. The golden calf can come out at any time, and we have to watch out for that. That's the first one. And the second message is that God has His way. God has His way. Amen. And last week we covered God's purpose is that we serve and we enjoy Him. So the bringing us, saving us, redeeming us is the start. Because without redemption, God's purpose can never be achieved. But God has a way. God has a purpose. And also we should be the one to share, to serve, and also to enjoy. So what is God's purpose? What is God's economy? What is God's goal? So I thought I'll write something down, in at least in the things. Here, in Genesis, Genesis 1:26, what does it say? So that's, so God said that in Genesis 1. Now, if you go all the way to Revelation, what does God say? There is New Jerusalem, right? And you also will have, we become this corporate God-man that has God's representation and His expression. So that's where we all will be. This is what God wanted. Okay, so then in this message, we're going to cover this topic of the three tabernacles. Now this does not mean that there are three tabernacles. We're talking about the tabernacle in three stages or three aspects. So the first one is type. So now to get to the type, the type is actually a structure. And we will show the diagram later. But this type is a structure. It has been built by the people. But God had to tell somebody how to build this. And as we know, Moses was with God for 40 days, 40 nights. And now you might think that that's a long, long time. Certainly the Israelites said it was too long. But then the golden calf came out. But God has to tell Moses how to build the tabernacle. And that's in God's heart. So this is the structure. And we will talk more about this later on today. So that is in the Old Testament. Now the second aspect of the tabernacle is the realization or the reality. Now this is the New Testament. Now this reality is the structure. was a subject. And then what happened? Christ here. So in here, in the New Testament, it is actually Christ. Christ individually, but also corporate. Individual and corporate. So first is individual, and then become corporate. That includes all of us. Right? And this is the baptized on Friday, part of this incorporation. Right? Part of this. And we will take it peacefully. That's moving toward here. Now, what will be here? Right? Here is the eternity. Right? This God wants a. Okay, now I'm going to write this down. This is difficult to remember. So, what we want is a, what God wants is a divine and also human incorporation. It is the final God.
Table of the bread of God.
president. The other side is a lampstand. And then we go to the incense altar. So the incense altar is made out of what material? Gold. So let's call that the gold altar. The golden altar. The bronze. Now, we need redemption. We need redemption. Every day we need redemption.
Right?
We cannot say, okay, Christ has redeemed us once and I'm good. Let's remember the golden calf. The golden calf is still in us. So we need salvation. So we need to go wrong order every day, every minute, every second. So we are not ready, but praise the Lord, we have this way that we enter. So the tabernacle is what God has made that allows sinners to be redeemed through this, and this is again a daily matter, can go in. So, praise the Lord, we have all been redeemed.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Right? Praise the Lord, we have been redeemed.
Yes.
But, this is only the first step. This is the entrance. This is the entrance. It is the first step. So, after the meeting, you know, we go to next door to eat food. Praise the Lord, all the good food in there. Well, you have to go to the entrance, right? But you don't go to the entrance and stay there, right? You go to the food, right? You go to the food. You do not stay in the entrance, right? So again, here, it's the same thing. God allowed us to be, praise the Lord, because of Christ, we can be redeemed. So we can go in. So we go in, and then go to the labor, and then eventually, now, I will not share too much. Let me say this. Well, this message is not easy to share. But I can tell you, if you find it difficult, at the time for prophesying, you come out and try to share what you have. That is the way you get it. Just listen, you won't get it. Okay. I have been a professor for so many, many years. I know whatever I say, I do not know how much people doubt in the lecture won't get. Okay? I have to get them to come and say it. And then, yes, so, okay, so just remember this. Okay, so here, we will go from here, but what God wants now, what is this? Typology. This is the resurrected Christ. This is the resurrected Christ. And it is through this process coming in that we get that God is better. Now in here, God's purpose is divine human incorporation. We have to be in the presence of God. And how do we get prepared to be in the presence of God? How do we get to this stage? It is by going daily. Take the blood, enjoy the redemption, let's go with the labor, the lampstand, the bread, and then to the golden altar that we can be prepared in the presence of God. And this is how we can be incorporated, we can be daily incorporated into God. And then we can move along this way and eventually with God's purpose will be realized.
Amen.
Amen. So I think I will leave the rest of the time for longer. And more time for you to share also.
Praise the Lord. Revelation. Hallelujah. It's really, really a rich portion. And Brother Mike said, it is not that easy, but that's it. I think it's the longest message I've ever seen. It's like an iron board. But it's really rich. It's packed. And I mean, on the one hand, you have to see that God had a vision and there's a consummation, which we are entering into today. And here, we have the tabernacle, which eventually merges and becomes the temple, the furnishings, and you can see in verse 8 chapter 8, are then moved into the temple, and David had desired to build it, and Solomon was building it. Right? And then the Lord Jesus comes as a man, as an embodiment, in whom the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell bodily. Hallelujah! Right? As the reality of this time. Right, this will teach you a lot of physical things to show us a spiritual reality, including this furniture. All of this furniture has a spiritual reality, and I know many of us are enjoying those things. But Christ comes, and he shares a little window in John that he says, you will destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up. And then John points out, I did leave one in the last one. Right, that's a real temple. And then in Corinthians, we are all, right, we're all in the temple. And eventually that's when we see the temple, the tabernacle, one with God, in a sense God is wearing the New Jerusalem. Hallelujah! We're right there in that incorporation of God. But from here to here, there's a process. So, but what I really enjoyed is that as much as this message is, and as many points that there are, technically so, there's actually a chapter in the Bible, in the Psalms, where the psalmist is in such a poetic, beautiful way about some of these matters, some of the experiences required to bring us all the way. So maybe if we could go to Hallelujah. So the psalmist writes, how lovely are your tabernacles? Oh, Jehovah hosts. Praise the Lord. You know, the house here, we see it in verse 1, we see it in verse 4, we see it in verse 10. And we can say that the house is in the center of this secret revelation of Christ as the fulfillment of the tabernacle, the house. And we need to enjoy him. But here, how lovely are your tabernacles. And then this verse is so good. My soul longs to eat even me. With the longing, we see a real, a loving desire. But then he uses this word pains, right? Pains, heart pains. Have we ever had the experience of our heart pains? Right? Brother Lee points out that this psalm is written not in the early stage, but actually after some experiences. And if we go backwards in the Psalms, back to 7:3. 7:3. You can see that the psalmist at this point had a point where he almost got stumbled in his faith. Actually, the wording there says in 7:3, I don't know whether it was referring to that verse, but it says that my feet were nearly turned aside. My steps had almost slipped. Almost stumbled, right? What was it that caused the psalmist to stumble? Actually, if we read further, he talks about how the unrighteous. Right. There's no pains in their death. Their bodies are well nourished. They seem to have no problems. But me, I'm worshiping at home and I have all kinds of problems. This was a bother. But he also says in verse 17 that when he went into the sanctuary of God, then he perceived that. Then he could see that actually God is the great judge. You may not see it right now. There may be a period of time where it seems that there's unrighteousness, inequity, but actually God is the great judge. And righteousness is the foundation of his throne. And so eventually he is counseled back to the fellowship of the Lord. There's a kind of early stumbling. Then in verse 80, we see that the Lord went to Egypt and took out, as I went to chapter 8, took out the vine, right, which is the children of Israel, and he prepares the good land and he plants the vine. And the vine flourishes. But then, after a period of time, there was a need for restoration. So in verse 12, he says, why have you broken down its hedges so that all who pass by the way blind? The So what is it? Right? The Lord has a womb. He plants the children of Israel in the good land with joy cries, right? And in comes something to add it, right? And they're the ones who pass by and block it, right? And it feels like the same. The world sometimes, they never help us to sing the praise to the Lord. Sometimes they're blocking, right? Just blocking. Right next to us is a giant wall, and people come and spray paint on that wall and just block it, right? They don't know what they're doing. But then the board comes and manages. You know, there is an enemy of God who is always active, right? From the forest, from the field, to ravage the people of God. This is in the Old Testament, it's our experience today. But hallelujah, we're not defeated. Amen. This song is a song. Restoration! Hallelujah! And I really enjoy it. You know, there's the Son of Man in this song, and at the very end, there it is, revive us. Right? Revive us, and we will call upon your name.
Amen.
You know what we need for revival? Calling on his name. Hallelujah! It's the same. The Old Testament, New Testament, when we come to the church, after we've been in the church, after we've been ravaged, we call on his name, we get restored. Hallelujah! So I enjoy that very much. But that's the context of this Psalm 84 concerning the changing, right? After we've been through some experiences with church, maybe we need a situation where we need the Lord to restore us. My heart and my flesh cry out to the living God. And then here's this reference. After two altars, even the sparrow has found a home. And the swallow a nest for herself. I believe from the reports of the two altars the brother Michael was pointing out, right? The bronze altar and the gold altar. They're almost like the bookend for the tabernacle, you could say. They experience the cross of Christ, right? They experience being redeemed, right, by the Lord initially. But then after we pass this, we have the experience of the labor. Right, we have a showbread, table, lampstand, eventually bringing us to the incense altar, where Christ, the resurrection, is offered as an incense to God, and God accepts him. And when he accepts him, he accepts us. Hallelujah, we get accepted by God. It's wonderful. That's how we believe that these two altars are our home. We live here. This is our home. So, Michelle and I, we bought a house this year. This is our home, right here. Now you can see our home. Praise the Lord. This is our furniture. But seriously, this is where we live. Hallelujah. And the psalmist's utterance is so beautiful. A sparrow. You know, sparrows are not that strong. They are not majestic people. They're little birds. Right? You ever feel like a little bird? Just a little power? Oh, Lord. Right? You have a little power. Not good at our name. We're just sparrows, saints. We're not the big mighty ones. We're just the sparrows. We found our home. Hallelujah. Our home is in the church. Right? It's right here, God's home. And so we experience the cross, we experience the altar, which qualifies us to enter the house. Right? And then over here, we experience Christ. The incense altar offered to God. We're accepted by God, and now we enter into fellowship with God, with Christ, our heart. And this is where we're just positioned. It's our home. It's where we are. So that was the other thing I really also enjoyed. And this is so beautiful. The swallow has a nest. We really heard that word nest. Isn't that sweet, Jared? There's a nest. What's a nest for? A nest is for laying eggs and hatching eggs. Raising up little brood of birds, right? You know, of course, this is the gospel, right? When we preach the gospel, we're begetting little people for God's kingdom. They're full grown, but they're young in their experience of the Lord, and they have to grow up. So there's the nursing sparrow, right? Who is the brooding sparrow, bringing forth the life of her young in the nest. But the nest is also our experience of the cross, right? So we need to stay whole in the cross of Christ, right? stay home in the death of Christ. When we are there in those experiences, it's not easy. You just want to get out of there, right? But to remain in the death of Christ, we can produce as the pearl out of it, right? And we know there's such rich fellowship of all these matters. But this matter of repentance, right? Here I wanted to open up my heart to you, saints, and say this. We have gospel context. We also sound like we have children. Lately, the Lord is touching very much. I need to bring my children, my little folks, Pharaoh, I want to bring those young to the church like that I do. Right? You know, I came to the church like several decades ago on the other coast. And it was so wonderful. I gave my Lord my life for the Lord in the church life, right? And then, now decades later, there are little sparrows that want to bring those ones and lay them down in days in the church life. But what kind of church life will they create you? Well, it needs to be a vital church life, the same church life I gave myself to, right? So we just go on with him. We stay home and we go on with him. Man, I really enjoyed this next verse. About to be blessed and dwell in the house. It's to praise him. We have to praise him. Hallelujah. And then also this matter, verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways of Zion. This is actually a highway. Zion, praise the Lord. And this is not an outward matter. It is something in our hearts. That we are, on the one hand, we came to the church, but on the other hand, on one hand, we're in, but on the other hand, we're always doing this. There is traffic in this house, and actually, it's a highway. Right? It's not back and forth. It's that as we go forward, we're constantly a little more. We become. We become fit, like Brother Michael was saying, to be in this consummation, to be with the Lord all the time, right? To be His expression, His representation. So there's so much here. The last thing I wanted to mention, I think my time is almost up here, is that they pass through the valley of Baca. They pass through the valley of Baca. They make it. Baca is the valley of weeping. It's a valley of weeping. It isn't always happy times, right? Maybe we start that way, but we may have some experiences before too long. But they make a place of strength. I'm very touched by that. That it's a matter of the Lord turning. You know, in these earlier songs we read about how they were needed, but there. But they were fed tears, right? They drank tears from the Lord. And a lot of tears. But those tears become a spring. It's really the Lord. It's mystical. But here it's that they make it. Right? They don't just sit back passive. If you just have tears, you'll eventually become bitter. I have this for a lot of people. And I'm not talking about the same, I'm talking about people. But for us, we can become that way too if we don't become comfortable. Right? This is where they have a little power. They exercise their will to say, Lord, I choose you. Lord, turn this into strength. It will be a strength. Hallelujah. Out of their innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The Lord does this. It's a miracle. It's mysterious. It's wonderful. It's God's house. So, amen. I'm going to stop here. There's much more to share. I know all of you have a lot to share. So, please, don't be shy. Bring out your portion and share it with the Lord.
So we'll sing a hymn while we transition to the language, Prophesying Times, 851, hymn 851. And then all those who are going to the Chinese meeting, we are Spanish speaking prophesying meeting, to transition during the hymn.